This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing with that intro? You sound confident for Scouser Sunday coming up this weekend.
Very confident, sir. Very confident that we might get a draw.
Hey, point could be on the menu.
Look, no matter how you slice it, big game. We've had the international break to reflect. Injuries coming back, sir. I'm praying to the football gods here. Paul P, Anthony Martial. You never know, sir.
A little Aaron Wan-Bissaka while you're at it. We could use a couple boys back. But saying there's a chance, United always have a chance, sir, especially when the odds are tilted this much out of our favor. No one's giving us a sniff at it. Everyone's calling Scouser as a guaranteed win. Hey, at home, under the lights.
Old Trafford, I mean...
Not in the lights, but, you know, it's going to be a hell of a match, sir.
It really is going to be an unbelievable match. And regardless of the form of Manchester United, I know the Stretford End will be singing loud and proud against the Scouse Bastards. Everyone always turns up for this match. Surprisingly, it's a late kickoff for this game at Old Trafford. Usually, it's the 4:30 a.m., the real early wake-up call here on the West Coast. I recall last year... Going into this match, we were so hyped up. I was yelling in your apartment in the city.
Getting me in trouble.
You were telling me to shut up. I was yelling so loud, and I was like, oh, he's at the wheel.
That was peak.
Come on.
We were rocking and rolling, then injuries. Remember that?
Yeah, that we dropped like flies. I think, was it Lingard fell down? I forget the exact injury list, but it was unbelievable that game. We faded, got the draw confidently, and remember this, Manchester United fans, we might not have gotten top four, but that draw against Liverpool at home in February with Ole was huge because Liverpool lost the league by 1 point, sir. So we could claim we did enough to lose Liverpool the title, those Scouse Bastards. So at the end of the day, we have that feather in our cap.
Hey, City didn't get their title against us in that game, and maybe we just did enough to keep Liverpool from getting number 19. So... That's a game I cannot wait for. You know, 8:30 is generous. People are going to be fired up in Manchester.
I went to this fixture, I want to say 2008, 2009. We won it. That was when Torres was playing for Liverpool back in the day. Ji-Sung Park with the header. Rooney had the penalty. My first Manchester United game ever. Unbelievable. We went on to win the league, sir, to see that, to beat Old Trafford, but it was a 1 p.m. kickoff, and I will tell you, the bar ran out of beer around 11 a.m., so that tells you the spirit. They were selling Foster's out of the back of a truck. I bought 10. They put it in a black trash bag and handed it to me for about 20 pounds, sir. That's the type of environment, Liverpool, Manchester United. What do you think of that? Out the back of a truck.
Brings out the best of a city. I love that.
Put 10 beers in a black trash bag, hand it to me to go drink in the parking lot. That's basically how it went.
You know it's not going to rip. You know it can hold it. It's good for transport, and it keeps it inconspicuous if you're trying to keep it away from the local police.
But an amazing... No, it was like they had essentially, the bars are so packed, they actually just like wall off the parking lot as an extension of the bar so they can just sell beer out of the back of a truck. But if that tells you what the environment is like, it's unbelievable. Singing, I think, under a 10 as well. The fans ripping and roaring, and man, that was a 1 p.m. kickoff. So this is going to be probably 4:30, and it's going to be like intense. So look for the fans to be behind the boys on the night. We can do it. Anything can happen. It's gonna be Liverpool. That's great bulletin board material if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer can get the lads up for a match. He hasn't proven he's been able to turn around the ship. He is at the wheel. He needs to turn it around a little bit, right?
He needs to turn it around a little bit, and they need to get hyped for a game, right? This is one thing, you're playing Crystal Palace, playing Southampton, but you're playing the Scousers at home, league leaders. You know, what do they call them on NBC Sports? The European champions. The European champions are coming to visit Old Trafford. The boys got to get up for this. Let's get some players back in the fold, back from injury, and just get 90 minutes of hard work, dedication, sir. That's all I want to see. I want to see the boys running and putting a tackle in or two, because I think that's going to be the difference if we're going to win this game.
if, of course, we're talking Manchester United, Liverpool at home, Old Trafford, the Northwest Derby, sir, probably the biggest fixture in English football. It determines who the King of the North, is. He will kneel for no man. Sunday, October 20th, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. We've played Liverpool 230 times, winning 88, tying 66, and losing 76, sir. So we do have their number throughout history, if you will. First match, April 28th, 1894, Newton Heath lost 2-0 in a test match. Football leagues weren't even a thing. Well, they were a thing, but these two clubs, they weren't in them per se. Five of the last seven matches have been draws. So everyone thinks all the headlines, Liverpool's gotten the best of his Jurgen Klopp footballing genius, mate, even though he hasn't won the league. The last draw of those five was 0-0. That was this spring, like we talked about, and it denied Liverpool the amount of points they needed to win the league. That was a spineless performance by Liverpool. So it's kind of like when Liverpool, the times are, they've got a lot of calls. Salah goes down the box. Momentum's on their side. Klopp kind of loses the train when things go against them. Short of facing Spurs in the final of the Champions League, they probably would have bottled it. Short of that miraculous comeback against Barcelona, I mean, certain things, they did get it, but this team is not as good as everyone makes them out to be. I think it's more that everyone's faltering and the ball is kind of bouncing their way this season.
You know, they've had certainly some calls go their way.
Last minute one or two.
Right? A lot of late penalties. But I think it's time for us to prove the doubters wrong and show that this team actually does have a little bit of grit. I think it's a big test for them, right? Top of the league team. But at the end of the day, it's your biggest rivalry. And you got to show that, you know, for 90 minutes of football, we're going to show up and put a hell of a performance out there.
Well, it's going to be a smash and grab, right? I mean, we got to defend and hit him on the counter. I mean, this kind of plays into Ole's playbook here a little bit. We got strong defense. You know, you got to like have Rashford take Van Dijk, scored a peach for England today. Marcus Rashford, hopefully losing that jinx where he couldn't score of late. Going into this match, the narrative for me is really the tale of two Oles. Momentum heading into the last meeting was 13 matches unbeaten, sir. Unbelievable form going into the last match, and we end up tying. We were looking for a win. Now Manchester United is praying for a draw. So we go from Ole last season at the wheel. How good does it feel? 13 matches unbeaten.
I'm praying
now
for
we're
a win.
Dying.
I'm praying
now
for a win.
Now we're almost relegated.
I'm praying for a win, mate. I'm praying for a win. I'm hoping for a draw. I'm praying for a win.
Fans would be pumped with a draw. Pumped with a draw at home against Liverpool. That's telling you a lot of where Manchester United is today, because we would expect to be winning this fixture.
Sir, 12th place. How often do you get that? 12th place and first place Scousers. You know, the books would have you go that there's no chance for United. But United, there's always a chance, isn't there?
There is always a chance. We always score, sir, except for this season. A little history on the Northwest Derby for those who aren't as familiar with it. It is the high-profile intercity rivalry between English Professional Association football clubs, Liverpool and Manchester United. Clearly, it is considered to be one of the biggest rivalries in association football, essentially world football, along with the Old Firm Derby in Scotland, the Super Clásico in Argentina, the El Clásico in Spain, and the Derby della Mondenia in Italy. So, I mean, this is up there with all the top fixtures in world football, all the rivalries, Barcelona, Real Madrid, River Plate, sir, in Argentina. You know how it goes here. But when these two teams play, everyone watches.
It's the biggest rivalry in English football. It's the two most successful clubs in the history of England and Northern rivals, right? 70s and 80s for Liverpool, 90s and 2000s for United, and now Liverpool, the scale has flipped back. But hey, we're always going to get up for a game. We're certainly up for this game. I can't wait, sir.
Yeah, what's crazy is it's considered the biggest rivalry over their local derbies, over the city, Manchester City, the Manchester Derby, as well as the Merseyside Derby with Everton. So, I mean, even the local derbies, this is considered bigger just because, like you said, the periods of success came so close to each other and the rivalry was so fierce. The two, like you said, two clubs are most successful in English
football.
So
dominant, right?
Unbelievable. They have won 38 league titles combined, 9 European Cups combined, 1 UEFA Cup Winners' Cup, that's Manchester United, 5 UEFA Super Cups, 19 FA Cups, 13 League Cups, 1 FIFA Club World Cup, 1 International Cup, and 36 FA Community Shields between the two sides, sir.
There you go.
Unbelievable. Each club can claim historical supremacy. I believe only one can. United for their 20 league titles to Liverpool's 18, 20 times. You betcha. Liverpool for being European champions 6 times to United's 3. That is a deficit. That is one where the European titles for Manchester United, you need at least 5. We went to a few finals. Three, should have won a few. Three's light.
Three makes you a big club.
Three's light.
Three's legit.
Three's light.
I mean,
it's light.
Fergie should have
it's
at least light. One more under his belt. I mean, if he was properly backed by the
Blazers. If Liverpool has six, we should have seven. That's how I measure everything as it relates to Manchester United. But I would say, you know, we are the winningest club in English football. We have the most trophies, the total amount of trophies. I would say that's the most important title, although Liverpool could tie and best us if they were to win, you know, the quad this season, which I doubt will happen. But again, it's possible.
Anything's possible.
Because we're not adding to that tally. That's the unfortunate. Liverpool is probably adding to that tally. We are not. Liverpool are first in the league and are favorites to win the title this season. The bookies have them -155, heavy favorites right now. It has been 30 years since Liverpool won the league, the last being 89-90. Poetically, 89-90 was a terrible season for Manchester United, one who we are being compared with today. So the last time Liverpool won the title was when we were shit, and we're breaking the shit records we set in 89-90, and that is the same year Liverpool won the title. So if you actually thought history does repeat itself, Manchester United are shit, Liverpool probably win the league, sir. It's written in the stars.
I mean, 30 years. Football gods, sometimes they act in cruel ways. This might be just a dose of humble pie, sir. We had it for so good, and now the tables have turned indeed. 30 years to the year is kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's uncanny when I was looking up that stat. Tactics, sir. I'm going to say it here. I'm not proud to say it. Park the bus, Man United. Unfortunately, looking at the Liverpool front three, Mane, Firmino, Salah is coming back off injury. That combination, the 4-3-3. They're going for the jugular. We are a wounded animal coming into this fixture, and they want to embarrass us. They're going to try to put up those big tally scores like Manchester City did back in the day with Mario Balotelli, sir. Why always me? They're going to try to embarrass us in our house, and we need to do everything we can to prevent that. I think Ole needs to defend, either a 4-5-1, 3-5-2, you know, looking at maybe getting Lindelof, Maguire, Twanzebe combination, Ashley Young on the left to counter Salah. He's done it before. And then hit Rashford on the counterattack. That's really what I think the options are for us. We need Pogba to have a great game. Pick that pass that beat Tottenham 1-0 last year, that one counterattack pass, and just lock it down. Ole's done it before. The boys have done it before. I really think that we need to do that.
And we got to win that midfield battle. I mean, that's going to be completely essential. They have some ball players. We're not going to be able to do it with a two-man midfield. So I'd like to see Ole go for the 4-3-3, or oof, you even called it with five in the midfield. It might be the move with a sole striker.
That's the overload, right?
In Rashford. So
hey, sorry, medium block. We're playing fucking nine guys. And guess what? Dave Saves needs to have a hell of a day.
Because he's going to get tested.
He's going to get tested, but he's done it before. He's done it before against Arsenal. And Alisson is coming back from injury. So Liverpool with a ton of injury boosts for Manchester United. Jumping to the injury section here, obviously Eric Bailly is out long term. Martial could make it back. These are all unknowns. We're doing this podcast a little early in the week. Ole is not going to have his press conference till Thursday, I want to say, so we're not going to get clear injury updates here. But Phil Jones can make it back. Aaron Wan-Bissaka can make it back. Paul Pogba can make it back. He hinted on Instagram. He was training with a cast on his ankle and then, you know, doing the battle rope, saying almost there. So I would hope he could suck it up for Liverpool. Jesse Lingard, he is almost back as well. Mason Greenwood, almost back as well. Victor Lindelof, he is back. He has hinted about that in the press. So look,
A
lot of injuries coming back. Foster Mintz is out and Delo out. No update. So we're looking at Lindelof, Greenwood, Lingard, Pogba, Wan-Bissaka, Phil Jones, and Anthony Martial, all in a fitness race to come back for Liverpool. I think this is good smoke. This provides Ole. It provides him a lot of smoke because Klopp isn't going to know who he's going to play, what the team's going to look like. I think it gives him a lot of options. I think a lot of these players are healthy, ready to go. Pogba, Wan-Bissaka, I think are going to feature. Lindelof as well. Lingard probably on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, we were pretty thin across the team. So getting Martial back in the fold would be huge for up front. If we get a Pogba feature, he's always, you know, can offer dynamics. There's a lot of... A lot of uncertainty around who's going to get picked in the starting 11. So I'd be very interested to see what Ole comes up with on the weekend.
But Liverpool, you know who they're going to pick, right? It's a very simple. Their starting 11 kind of just like falls onto the page. With Manchester United, it's, and that could be a good thing or a bad thing for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I haven't liked his lineups particularly this season. He's kind of gone for that same formation. I really think it's up to him. This game, we did talk about it with Stanley Chow in the last podcast. If you haven't listened to that one, definitely download it. Stanley Chow, local Manchester United lad, world-renowned artist, came on the pod, did a 45-minute interview. Unbelievable stuff.
Instant classic. I mean, it was instant just an absolute pleasure to have Stan Chow on the pod. Both big fans of him.
He's Ole out, though, and he's kind of on the... He basically says he's lost the dressing room, and if Ole can get the tactics right here and put the right pieces together, get a good result, he could turn around the ship against Liverpool, right? There's nothing to lose. You get Martial to score a goal. You get Pogba to back in form. You can really hit the ground running, but it's up to him to have brave tactics at home. And I just, for some reason, him picking the lineup hasn't been on. So I'm going to say, as much as we need the players to come good, this starting 11 and the formation Ole decides to go with at home, this fixture really is probably going to determine the future of his managerial role at Manchester United. If he gets it right, he's probably good to go for the end of the year. If he gets it wrong, everything's on Norwich and he could be Ole out. You don't know.
I mean, we know how transformative this game can be for the fixture list. Look what happened to Mourinho after his performance in Liverpool last season. So the players are going to expect to get up for the game.
And that was only 3-1, sir. I mean, it was a tough 3-1.
It was peppering, but you know, it could be way worse.
7-0. You know, we could get a 7-0 on Sunday, you know, straight to the dome. It's like, it's tough.
I mean, if you get like over 5 goals, sir, what's the likelihood that they axe Ole right away?
I think they'll give him till Norwich, and if you lose Norwich, he's gone. To get into the speculation around Norwich, the manager, this is pivotal stuff for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and he really needs to get this right. Even if we lose, there have to be positives to be taken away. Tactically, the players played well. You know, if the referee screws you over, that's fine, but you need positives to take away, fundamentals in the game that we can really, you know, as fans, this Liverpool fixture, you can't... Liverpool are at top of the table. For them to go further top of the table and just run riot, and we're in relegation area, I mean, it's going to be ugly if we lose. So there's a lot on this game, even though it's fans have been writing it off mostly in the press and online. Everyone says we expect to lose. I think that's generous from fans. I don't think no one expects to lose. I think if you lose, they're going to be real salty.
And there's a couple of ways to lose, right? You can lose like 1-0 and you can get drubbed 6-0. So if that happens, I think he's going to be under a lot of pressure. So he's going
to... Yeah, you can lose to VAR.
He's going
to
park that bus. Yeah, he can lose to VAR. He can lose to Salah diving. You can lose to all kinds of things.
Well, it's a good point, because if you think about Arsenal, it's like we both played like shit. I think Manchester United was better than Arsenal on the day. We ended up tying them mainly because of VAR. And then now we're here where it's almost like Ole out. But I wouldn't say that was like the worst match. So it's amazing how the tide turns. Like a Newcastle away, a loss to a shit Newcastle can just kill a manager's credibility, because you can't be losing those games. You cannot lose that
game. And the manner in which we lost that game, it wasn't just losing, but like with 3 shots the whole game on target, and you're creating nothing, offering nothing going forward, giving the fans so little to cheer on. It makes it very tough, sir.
And that's why I think Stan on the last podcast said, look, you know, I like Ole, but at the end of the day, it looks like the locker room has been lost a little bit. So I think more than anything, we do talk about the tactics. He's got to get the boys fired up. The bulletin board material, it's Liverpool. He played for Manchester United. He knows what this game means. If he can't communicate that to the players in a way where it shows that they're motivated to go out and die for that badge on the pitch that day and give everything for the fans in the Stretford End, I mean, if he can't do that and we see a meek Manchester United kind of moping around the pitch, that... to me is, you know, that's the sort of writing.
It'll be damning. And it'll be very, you know, for sure. This is a game that should make it very easy for the players to get up for. Top of the league, Liverpool, and you want to just knock them off the perch, anything they can, just to like set them back a little bit. And by even not...
Sir Alex in the stands.
Know, not even giving them the victory. To hold them off from 1 point, it would be a victory for United based on our form at the moment. And just put a little salt in the wound, because we don't want them to see them win the title, sir. No one wants to see them win number 19.
They're doing pretty well.
It's going to be hard to stop them.
So, look, I have a Liverpool fan texting me. He's like, so happy. And I'm like, you haven't won anything yet. Anyone who's celebrating the Premier League title, it's not even the second week of October. There's been 2 international breaks. We play 8 league games. It's like, you got to calm down. There's 30 matches to go. It's a long season. You got winter. You got injuries, all this stuff. And I don't think it's look, Liverpool can bottle it. Are you kidding me? They had 7 points. They bottled it against City, lost by a point.
But classic Liverpool fan be just chirping early and often. That just, as soon as they're in position to be above you,
it's hard not to. They're like, for how tough of a run it's been, I hope this season everyone leaves. Klopp, Salah, everyone goes to Real Madrid somewhere else. Get out of my somewhere town. Else. Get out of my town, Northwest Derby. All right, jumping into the lineup, sir. Who do you have versus the Scouse Bastards? What's going to win it?
Sir, number one in net. Who else? Dave Saves. And then I'm going to do a back five of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Victor Lindelof, Twan Zabi, Maguire, and best left back in the world, Ashley Young. And then I'm going to do a midfield of Scott McSauce McTominay, Nemanja Matic, Paul Pogba, and then a front two of Daniel James and Marcus Rashford.
No Martial coming back from injury there.
You're not going to make it, sir. Off the bench.
Yeah, I haven't heard as much about him as I did have heard about Paul Pogba, at least on social media. And again, Pogba has teased the comeback and didn't make it. So I'm hoping he does. He's in my lineup. I got Dave Saves. I'm going with the 4-5-1, sir. We're packing it in. 10 men behind the halfway line. Park the bus, baby. Dave Saves in net. Wan-Bissaka, Twan Zabi, Maguire, Rojo as my left back. Then I'm going to say my left wing back, Ashley Young. He's going to provide cover on the left-hand side for Marcus Rojo. Matic, Pogba, McTominay, midfield three, Pereira as the right wing back. And then I got Marcus Rashford, the number nine, the one who's going to score that counterattacking goal. So packing it in hard, just getting a lot of bodies behind the ball against Liverpool and frustrating them. You know, I think play hard, take them down, go in some cracking challenges, make Paul Scholes proud.
Hey, the one thing we can do is at least batter them up a little bit, right? If you know, even if you don't get the victory, let's go out there and play a hard-fought performance. I think that's what every United fan wants to see. They just want to see their team show up. It's been so long since we had a performance that we could be proud of, that even if we didn't win, but we went out swinging, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, just don't be a bunch of baby bitches.
You got it.
Don't be a bunch of Jesse Lingards on Instagram. I mean, it's that easy. Just go out there, grit your teeth, and act like you deserve to be on that pitch.
There you go.
Make the ex-Manchester United players and fans around the world proud that you were in that shirt, sir. Booking the bookies. Unbelievable odds here. If you would believe it, Manchester United at home playing Liverpool +350. Sir, Liverpool -130 in our house, draw +304. Shambolic odds there. Again, it's probably even worse than that, but because there's so much money in Manchester United, it's tempering the odds. And just as a sanity check, Sheffield United to beat Arsenal is around +320. So if you want to think about how bad those odds are for Manchester United to win at home, I mean, if this was in Liverpool, it'd probably be +500. And this is some of the worst odds I've seen at home for Manchester United, and that should give the fans a wake up call. Sir, if you had to predict it, put your money where your mouth is. What are you saying? I know you're going to predict United to win. You always predict United to win. What
sir,
do you think?
Calling the draw. 0-0 draw at +304. I think, De Gea has like a worldy 10 saves. Just shuts them down. 0-0. That's what I'm calling. What do you think, sir?
Look, I'm cautiously optimistic. As a fan, I want to say, we have a shot. But thinking about it, I'm really going to go with something along the lines of poetic justice. 3-1 to Liverpool in our house. Oof. The same result that Mourinho got. I think we're going to see a lot more of the themes of Mourinho leaving this club and, how I don't think we treated him right. So, the universe is perfect, sir. And 3-1 would be poetic justice on that 30 years after that 89-90 season.
It's going to be a tough 30-year reunion, sir.
Look, I don't want that. So all the fans upset, I'm predicting a loss. You look at those odds, you look at the way we've been playing. I'm going to say most often now we lose, but I'm going to be cheering the lads on the win. I think there's a chance.
I'm calling a rose-colored 0-0, dude. I mean, it's like optimistic that we held them to no goals. So I think we're both
tough times. What can we say? It's tough times.
Fall from grace. It's been tough.
It doesn't make me proud to make that prediction. But let's move on. United in the news, sir. Like we mentioned, Paul Pogba says he's almost there amid injury concerns doing battle ropes on Instagram. I am excited to see what Paul Pogba has to offer. Obviously, he's been injured. The team looks terrible. We need something. He is, apparently one of the best midfielders in the world. I would love to see it. I'd love to see it against Liverpool at home. What a better place to do it. What a better place to prove us wrong.
You couldn't find a better forum for him to show off that he is one of the best players in the world, sir. So I'd love to have him just as an option. I know he offers a spark when he's up for it. Hopefully we can build set up the team that's, you know, going to take advantage of his vast skill set. But we will see what Ole goes for when he picks that starting 11. Hopefully Pogba is involved.
All right, next bit of news here from ESPN. A mouthful. ESPN's being quoted in sort of, I think the Sun is quoting ESPN now and the Mirror as well. ESPN has some sources inside Manchester United. And it was hysterical. If you want to listen to that Stanley Child podcast, he has sources inside Manchester United. Multiple. I didn't ask him who those sources were.
He's got a plethora of
sources.
Or if
he can give us inside news. But Stan Chow has more inside information than anyone who's ever been on the podcast. So it's very impressive we can get someone like him on. Manchester United, 7-man shortlist that we have a transfer shortlist. 7-man shortlist here
for quite a list. Let's hear this list, sir.
According to ESPN, the 7 players United are interested in signing are Mario Mandzukic, John McGinn, James Maddison, Callum Wilson, Declan Rice, Moussa Dembele, and Ivan Rakitic. I like Rakitic. He is out of favor at Barcelona right now. Dembele, I've heard. Mandzukic, I think January. Maddison, I've also heard Callum Wilson. I would rate that as well. So this is spray and pray tactics. I think they're just leaking a bunch of stuff to ESPN, seeing kind of where the chips will fall.
I mean, a couple of these names we've been attached to quite a bit. Mandzukic, I think, is a player that probably has real legs in it. Value buy, experienced leader, and can offer some goals as well. Moussa Dembele is another exciting player. When I featured on the Mostly Soccer podcast yesterday, sir, that was a player that we're attracted to that would add a
from
lot
Lyon,
going
right?
forward. From Lyon, yep. You know, goal scorer, would offer a lot going forward. James Maddison, I think we'd be priced out just because they would at least request $100 million. And I'm not sure we were willing to penny that up, but he is
and Chilwell,
a hell of a player as well.
We're rated. I think we're connected to everyone. But again,
they don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So
they have no idea.
Clearly, I think the ESPN is a new place for the club to leak. So when you're getting ESPN rumors, it's kind of the narrative the club want to spin. And our next article kind of relates to that. Transfer talk from ESPN. Manchester United vow not to panic buy in January. So again, this is just this is how dumb Ed Woodward is. Yeah. He's
we
like,
promise we won't do anything stupid, right?
He's just basically like, yeah. We're gonna go out in the press. Yeah, ESPN, because we're American. We're gonna tell ESPN that we're not gonna panic buy. We're not gonna overpay for anyone in January. So don't even think about making us pay too much for James Maddison. Don't even think about it, because I leaked to ESPN that we're not.
Will not be swindled.
And so Leicester City is going to go read this article in ESPN. They're going to be like, oh my God, Manchester United, they're not going to pay a lot of money for James Maddison. We must sell him for a discount. That's exactly how, dude, this is why Woodward is running the best club in the world.
3D chess,
football, right?
Sir. Right there. It's elevated.
4D chess.
He's playing a different dimension.
He's that smart. Look at this leak into the press. Another interesting article on the hashtag Glazers out front. Manchester United co-owner Kevin Glazer set to sell 13% stake in club after 14 years after the takeover, per the Sun. The way the ownership kind of works with the Glazer family, for those who don't know, Malcolm Glazer did the LBO back in the day, and then it's essentially in separate trusts. The whole LBO and the shares are in separate trusts for each of the Glazer children. I believe there's 6 or 7 of them. You can look up the 20th filing on the New York Stock Exchange. But Kevin Glazer essentially has filed documents with the SEC that has converted all of his B-class shares into A-class stock. And when you convert that stock, it means he could sell in the New York Stock Exchange, right? So the issue is that he might be set for an offering. They did file, like we mentioned on the podcast before, the shelf registration, which means you can start selling these shares. Now, it's going to be done in a private offering, and there'll be terms to be negotiated. But again, it's kind of showing that if you want to take a step back from the finance stuff, talking about the 20.8 million shares owned in the revocable exempt family trust worth around 270 million, yada, yada, yada. You want to get into those details, it's kind of boring. But taking a step back, Saudi was interested in the club. Clearly, there was a back and forth. It was in the papers. Saudi wouldn't meet the valuation. Now, all of a sudden, they're filing these, you know, shelf registrations in the United States. They're looking to get some liquidity. They know the team's valuation is probably the highest it's going to be for the next 3 to 5 years, right? Because essentially we're on the downslope right now when it comes to Manchester United. I thought they were going to sell. Hysterically, they didn't. And now I can see probably the Glazer family posturing with each other, probably disagreeing over what they're going to do with the club, because they know that they need probably to invest $1 billion in to get an improved valuation, right? So now they're probably, I bet you there's some cracks cracks in the Glazers as far as what they should be doing. Because look, this guy, Kevin Glazer, he's got $350 million in this team, and he probably wants that liquid. He's got to buy a yacht, son, right? At a certain point, you're like, it's been 14 years. We've made so much money. Like, time to get it out, right?
It's like a subversion of secession, bro, with Manchester United. Yeah, the cracks it are is. Forming. Sure, I'm sure the family's fighting for their ownership, and, you know, they don't want to put more money in. They want to get as much money out of that cash cow as they can. So
at the current valuation, right?
Because we are likely to slide, you know? Yeah. If you look at where we are and where we've been and where the valuation has been, on a relative basis, if we're 12th right now, 2 points off the drop, certainly not going to go up anytime soon.
Yeah, but if he sells shares, it's going to restrict the other siblings from selling shares because they're going to have lockup agreements associated with the sale. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of cap table stuff going on with Manchester United. It's interesting that we're seeing all these filings come out. I hope this means some movement on the sale because what we're going to see is portions of the club being sold off, and then that will lead to, you know, maybe Joel Glazer and Avram Glazer kind of co-owning the majority with sort of a 49% block. And then if they sell their shares, then you can get a majority. And, you know, there are all these voting blocks now in the club. And what's crazy is that when you have that type of situation, this is the best team in world football, the one with the most fans. And all the fans are sitting here just watching these shares being traded. And we have no idea what the future of our team is going to be, what the future of our club is going to be. It's in the hands of these assholes. It's just completely, it's just like unbelievable. It's just sell the club. Just sell the club.
It's the best thing they can do.
You're over it. Sell it. Right.
They could get a good valuation. The price is still high. They've certainly made enough off of the club in the last 15 years. So I think it's about time they get out.
They made a few bill. Time to get out. What do you put down?
Pull the bill out.
Yeah, no, they put $250 million down on the LBO, and they're gonna, if they sell it, that's quality return right there when it comes to that 14-year return. I would have to think they were thinking $4 billion for the Saudis to come in, maybe 3.8 or something like that, but the Saudis wouldn't pay it. It's nonsense to me. Either way, the Glazer's out. We'll keep you posted on all this stuff. It likely won't move the needle. I have no idea what their strategy is. I have to imagine, like, I don't understand why they wouldn't sell. Because who else could buy them other than the Saudis? Honestly, who could buy them other than the Saudis? Bezos' ex-wife.
But he's not interested.
Yeah, but he likes Seattle Sounders, man.
Yeah, he's all in on the Sounders, I guess. I mean, hey. There's probably some other heartless American conglomerate that could buy us as well that, you know, would gladly take another billion off the table. But valuation is a little too much for people around the table.
No, but and honestly, like, nobody knows, right? We're debating this. I mean, we have a finance background. So when you look at all these filings and we talked about this summer, we're like, they have to be being sold. They have to be selling it now. Like, if you're not going to invest the money, like, the stadium is leaking. The stadium needs to be rebuilt. You got to invest $1 billion in the stadium. You got to invest $1 billion in the team. And that you would usually sell that right now before that investment is required. And instead of holding it through that, then you have to put in more cash while the valuation is going down. It seems to me like a bad business call all around. And this proves that Malcolm Glazer knew what he was doing. And Avram and Joel have no idea. That's why the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are shit. Manchester United are absolute shit. So everything they touch goes to shit. They think they're geniuses, you know, just because they're making a lot of money. But at the end of the day, it's like you're making a lot of money pissing everyone the fuck off. And that's not good in Manchester. Those guys helicopter straight into the penthouse. Yeah. They don't walk around the streets of Manchester, I wouldn't think, without security detail.
They're not the Bishop's Blaze singing always at the wheel, no. Sir. I think they are daytime trippers, as they call them.
All right, fan questions. Enough of the Glazers out. We can go all day on how terrible the ownership is. At Marco Nunez 408 on Twitter, quote, if Martial comes back, who plays left wing, Rashford or Daniel James, sir? Who plays left wing?
I think you put Dan James on left wing, you put Rashford on the right, and you put Martial up front. That's the
Did
front
you see
I want
him
to see.
Get knocked out at Wales?
I
you
did.
Saw
that's
Dan
scary
James.
Stuff. So, you know, hoping for a quick recovery for Dan James.
I
no
don't
one likes
think
to see that
you
happen.
Recover that quickly from a head injury.
No, you would know, sir. Yeah, you've had a head injury too.
I've never been knocked out. But I've had some concussions in my day, and you know, for Dan James to go out like that, and then for him to be able to return on the pitch in a game that's not even it is important to Wales, but you can't do that. The doctors, dude, Ryan Giggs on the sideline, get him back in there, baby. Like, it's like, what
no
are you
problem.
Talking about? I mean, he should be out. For like, he has to be in concussion protocol. He's got to come off the pitch. He's got to see a doctor, be tested over weeks, come back. It's one of those things where, you know, the limits of science and brain injuries, but that was bad.
They seem to like to push it in soccer. You know, they certainly well, I've seen like, it have a tendency Cup. To put players. Yeah, World Cup.
I've seen the World Cup right final. Back out there. Like it, the one German player when they won the World Cup final got knocked out, and he went back in. I was like, well, it's a World Cup final. So if he got second concussion syndrome and died in the World Cup final, you'd be like, all right, well, it's a World Cup final,
not Europa League qualifiers.
Like, I mean, like, so, like if I was in the World Cup final for USA and I got knocked out, I would probably play still. I would probably keep. It's the World Cup final.
If you made it that far, sir.
You know, it's like for you. The odds of you being in that match are, you know, one in, you know, like 5 billion, something like that. Next tweet at Chris Cardona 12, quote, I hope Rashford can turn it around. Maybe if Martial and Pogba play, we can upset and have one of those lucky wins for us. For fun, I'm calling it 2-1 United for Martial and Rashford. I'd like a scarf if I get the prediction. Hey, you know, we can totally hook you up with that scarf. It's going to be a hashtag Glazers Out scarf, just like you said in your tweet. So if you get that, if United win 2-1 and Martial and Rashford score at Chris Cardona 12, we got you that scarf.
Gladly. Yeah.
Gladly.
Happily get you a scarf. 2-1 victory. We'll be celebrating all day. How about we'll send you
a scarf, a sticker, a pin, and a Glazers Out shirt. We'll
swagger send you will be back thing. On the menu. I cannot. Swagger I like will be the back sound on the of that. Menu.
Yeah, exactly. We got to win, though. Next tweet here at MOA Formula One on Twitter. Quote, what happened during the NFL game in London? Did the Glazers travel to Manchester to discuss financials? I actually have no idea. But when we're referencing NFL, the Buccaneers and Manchester United are both terrible. I don't know if the Buccaneers played in the NFL, but I actually have no idea what happened during the NFL game in London. So
I know they lost and they were playing in London. That's all I know.
All right. So the Glazers are watching the Buccaneers lose and watching Manchester United lose, both franchises that they're responsible for. And you know what's amazing is in Tampa Bay, the citizens paid for the stadium in Tampa Bay. That's the most outlandish thing ever. They got $1 billion from the taxpayers. So no freedom. One, that's not the way it works in the UK. No one's given them money. And with a leaking roof, what kind of operation are we running around here?
I don't know if we want a new stadium, but you can certainly use an uptick, you know, a little bit of a refresher.
It's at least a billion.
A facelift. Billion would be a brand new one.
It's at least a billion. I know, dude. Like, what was Meadowlands? It was 1.6. Yeah,
ugliest stadium of all time.
Yeah, well, you got to grease the wheels in New Jersey.
Jersey, baby. It's like a shit done.
You got to grease those wheels, sir. Next tweet here at KnowlesFan7302, quote, only could hope they decided to see the Buccaneers and at Manchester United. They've run both teams into the ground. I know because I live in Tampa and I'm a Bucs fan. So that's in response to the previous tweet. We got a lot of Bucs fans here on the thread. that's bad luck because if you're a Bucs fan and you're a United fan, you're getting screwed by the same ownership. So that's like double stuff Oreos. Next tweet at Dave Grubsick on Twitter. Quote, let's be honest. If we lose this game by less than 2 goals, it is a good result. How far we have fallen. Dave G. Slayton is, sir. What do you think? Less than 2 goals.
Cutting us wide open. I mean, I hate to say it. You know, we could have a good performance and only lose by two. This game would go away from us really fast if a couple of them slide in. So hopefully it's a victory. Hopefully it's a draw, but hopefully we're not getting blown out because things could get ugly, sir.
Look, I appreciate the tweets here, including the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making the thread. We're just throwing it out here.
What up, Bucks?
It's a late night podcast for us here on the West Coast, recording around 8:30 p.m. Pacific. But, you know, I got a flight to catch tomorrow. That's why we wanted to do it on Monday, sir. We weren't going to be in the bunker, and the podcast always a little spicier in the bunker. Hell of a week. You know, we had the big Stan Chow interview we alluded to. That was a high for us. Talking about the history of the club is great with, you know, especially like local fans tell you more about he's met Sir Alex Ferguson, talks about that.
Multiple times.
I mean, for me, that was such a rush and all that positivity. And then, you know, not having football this past weekend, I think was healthy for me mentally.
based on our recent performances.
Yeah. And then it's just one of those things where it's when we spend time away in an international break after a really bad run of form, two things can happen. The nightmare can continue or we can turn it around and go on a run. And so nobody knows what team's going to show up. But you know, if you look at those bookies, you know, they're saying that the shit ass of Manchester United.
We're not the favorites. I'll tell you that. But hey, there's no better way to snap back from a shit run of form than beating the Scousers, who are top of the table. We're in the bottom half of the table. Certainly flip the mood around Manchester.
Yeah,
get
look,
the boys back excited.
Let's just say it is what it is, right? The team is what it is. The manager is what it is. The investment in the club to date it is what it is. So you have to look at that and say, look, Ole can win the job by turning it around. Ole can also lose the job by letting this slide continue. And we're going to witness that. It's like when you break up with a girlfriend, it's a painful experience. You know, I like Ole. It's not going to be easy to move on if it doesn't work out. And if it does, then great. But at the end of the day, we're just going to have to ride that roller coaster, cheer the lads on who come on the pitch. Like Stanley Chow said, it's hard to protest the ownership, but I got to cheer my team on. That's what we're going to do. I'll wake up all the neighbors, sir. Actually, I'm going to be on a flight from Denver to San Francisco.
Lucky you, sir. Enjoy it.
But thank God I looked up the model of the plane, and I believe they have DirecTV Live, so I will be watching in the air. It was just even more awkward because I'll be screaming next to strangers kind of in the back of the plane there. What do you think?
Well, hopefully it doesn't get too ugly for us. I think it's going to be a tight, contested game. I just want to see the boys show up. That's all I'm hoping for.
No,
I want to see a performance. I want to see a strong performance. The boys running around the pitch, leaving it all out there. That's all I can ask
for,
right?
Don't concede in the first half.
Don't concede in the first
15.
10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Not in the opening don't 10, make an please. Error. Like Rashford, don't hit
give
the post.
Them a goal.
Don't hit the post. VAR needs to go our way. We're due for VAR
no
to
red
come
cards.
Our way.
Nothing stupid.
Look, it's the life of a Manchester United fan. It's a tough start to the season, but it's just the start. It's just the start. So we haven't been eliminated from. We're in a lot of cup competitions, by the way. We got the Carabao Cup. We got
Chelsea.
The Europa League. We got a lot going on.
We got a bunch
of
games coming up.
It's gonna be a hell of a ride. We will be here the whole time. No matter what happens, this pod is going nowhere. Just like this club, Manchester United. Glory, glory, till the day we die, sir. Jumping to housekeeping, thank you for listening to the podcast. You guys are the best fans in the whole world. We appreciate it, even through the tough times. Like you've heard, there's no ads on this podcast. We just run it from basically shooting from the hip, sir. We got Stanley Chow Skyping in. We just like emailed him. We're getting some more guests on as well. Tweet us if you actually like that podcast format, like guests or not. Usually it's just us yapping. We're trying to get some more global feel to the podcast, get some Manchester United experts on as well. But if you want to support the podcast, you can visit our store, sir. We got some amazing Glazers Out merchandise. It's never been more relevant. The Glazers Out shirt, the Avram Glazer clown shirt, you got to protest the ownership. I wear that now. The green and gold scarf that we have, hashtag Glazers Out, I wear that when we go watch games at the local pub or even if we're just sitting on the couch. I really don't wear my jerseys anymore because we really have, as fans, we need to band together. We need to protest this ownership. We need to realize what the true problem is at Manchester United. So if you want to support the pod and protest the ownership, we actually have a sale going on, $9.99 for a scarf, $15 for a shirt. Made it as cheap as possible. Sir, you can get that merch at www.americanreddevils.com and click on store. But if you can't part with $10, no worries. Write a review. We are so close to 200 reviews on iTunes. 5 stars so far, sir. If you got the time, please drop us a review on iTunes. We will send you a sticker. That's how we're found. It's all organic reach. And what's amazing is even though the team is at the bottom of the barrel, we have some great listeners that keep coming back and keep posting record numbers on this podcast, sir. It's a wild ride. We're number one. We're the number one rated podcast for Manchester United on iTunes. Number one when you search Manchester United. We could have done that without you guys. So it's all the cheeky reviews, all the funny reviews, you guys put us up there, and that is why we come week in, week out. We get you as many podcasts as possible. It is a pleasure to do it.
It's a pleasure to do it. It's not always a pleasure to watch this Manchester United team.
Not at all.
Recently.
I wish they were as good as our fans.
Yeah, I wish they would show the same dedication to craft as we have, sir, week in, week out, putting it all on the line for our fans, who are the best fans in the world.
Yeah.
We appreciate you listening. Yeah. We're trying. We're trying to make the best out of not always the best performances, but we're doing it with a smile on our face and enjoying it every second.
And this podcast is for fans by fans. Tweet us your feedback. You don't like something, we get something wrong, make fun of us. I love when people say we pronounce things wrong or we got the stat wrong. We're trying our best off the shooting from the hipster. We know a lot, but we're definitely not always right. And you know, we can always improve. So if you have a viewpoint, you want to get on the fan question segment, or you have an idea for the podcast, we are open ears at USA Red Devils on Twitter, and you can email us AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. Sir, let's get into the downloads. Last 7 days, been a wild ride as far as the top cities are concerned. Hit us with the top of the list.
Sir, number one, we got New York, New York. How you doing? How you doing? Number two, San Francisco, California. And number three, Kakana, Hawaii. How's it going? Hawaii?
I don't think there's an N in there, sir. I'm going to say Kihaha.
Are you sure? Kikaka.
Kikaha. Kikaha, Hawaii.
Kikaka, Hawaii.
San Jose, California. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Ooh, Milwaukee, son. Houston, Texas. Finish us off, sir.
Sir, number 7, Los Angeles, California. Number 8, Dallas, Texas. Number 9, Chico, California. Number 10, Chicago, Illinois, a.k.a. Chirac.
I will be visiting Chirac tomorrow, sir, for a layover flight. You can enjoy that one. And look, hell of a game Sunday. Show up, sir. It's a big match. The Northwest Derby. We don't care. The boys need to run off the pitch. They need to run riot. Ole's got to show us why he deserves the job the rest of the season, why he can turn this around. And what better song to part ways with than Build a Bonfire, sir?
Build a Bonfire.